Sounds like we can hear each other. So
oh, yes, ma'am.
I guess the other gentleman, I guess, can drop the line. Okay, I guess he's gone.
Yeah, I think so.
Okay, well, are you still in Normandy, or are you elsewhere now?
No, I'm back at Fort Bragg, North Carolina. We arrived.
Oh, okay,
last
much closer, much closer. Okay, well, let me start off with you. Of course, the local folks here are very interested in knowing all your connections. So let me get some background information from you first. Are you familiar with the Union Newsleader?
Yes, ma'am, I am.
Oh, okay. All right. Well, of course, I'm the investigative reporter. I work for the newspaper. I don't know if you know me from Adam, but anyway, I've been with the paper for about 3 years. And my stint basically is investigative journalism and the government corruption, accountability, and all that stuff. But I do love exclusives, especially something like this. So I'm very honored to interview you. And when they told me about this, I was just like, wow. So the public here is very interested in learning more about what you're doing and how you got involved in everything. So let's start off. Now, what is your local contact network? Is it your parents or your wife or?
No, my parents live in Maynardville.
Oh, okay, parents. Okay, and what are their names?
It's Vicky and Buddy Bruce.
Vicky and Buddy Bruce. Okay. Y'all tend to, let's see, I'm trying to think of their names. There's some other Bruces up here.
Might be, but Buddy's my stepdad, and my family, like my mom and my dad, they're pretty much from Ohio. So there are a lot of kin to Buddy up and around that area, down in Knoxville and Powell, yeah, all over the place.
Okay, all right. And that did you go to school here also?
No, ma'am. I grew up with my father in Ohio, and I moved to Tennessee when I was 18. And I joined the reserves. I joined the 49th Civil Affairs Battalion. That's in Knoxville.
Uh-huh. Uh-huh.
And from there on, I went active duty. And from 99 to 2006, I was in Knoxville. And then from 2006 to present, I've been at Fort Bragg.
Okay. All right, slow. So,
no.
Bear with me. Okay. You said you joined the 49th?
489th.
Oh, I'm sorry, 489th. And is this Army, I'm taking?
Yeah, it's Army, yeah.
Okay. My father was in Army. Okay. And you lived in the Knoxville area when you were here, when you moved here at 18?
Yes, ma'am. I lived in Powell and then basically Knoxville and then in Union County for a short while I was transitioning to active duty. But my mom and Buddy, they lived out there since, I want to say since 2002.
Oh, okay.
2001, 2002.
Okay. Just out of curiosity, how did they wind up in Union County?
You know, I don't really know. I mean, like I said, my stepdad's family lived in Powell, and then when his father passed away, I guess they just, you know, he's an avid hunter and fisherman, outdoorsman, so I guess he wanted to be closer to have more space.
Oh,
you know?
Okay, I see. So, moved here, okay, for...
Yeah, we actually built their house, and I guess it's... Subdivision is called Hurricane Hollow, I think.
Oh, Hurricane Hollow.
Yeah, it's out 33.
Oh, okay. Okay. Now, what company are you a member of now, or what division or whatever in the Army?
I'm actually at HHC.
HHC.
This is going to be a long one. United States Army.
United States Army, okay.
Civil Affairs.
Civil Affairs.
And Psychological Operations. Command.
That's funny.
And then Airborne after that. We shortened it to USACAPOC, but it's easier if I just spell it out.
You're the Airborne Division.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Civil Affairs and Psychological Demands. And you said it's U.S. Army HHC, Civil Affairs and Psychological Demands. Okay.
Psychological Operations Command.
Command.
Operations before Command. I know it's one of the longest names in the military. You say 82nd Airborne, everybody knows what that means. You say 101st, everybody knows what that means.
Right. Okay. Let's see. What else we got here? Okay, and how long have you been in the military? Since 2001, you said, or 1999. My daughter's trying to give me a cupcake. Okay. And what is your rank currently, Sergeant?
I am Sergeant First Class.
Okay. And you're based out of?
Fort Bragg, North Carolina.
Fort Bragg.
Okay. Yeah.
I'm just trying to get all this out of the way because that's what people want to know on a local level. Okay. Let me go back to some real questions now. Okay. Tell me a little bit about, of course, we know this all has to do with the Normandy invasion, the D-Day, Longest Day, like the movie, et cetera, et cetera. Are you familiar with any of those old films?
Am I familiar with what, ma'am?
Like the Longest Day, or how were you selected for this particular mission? I mean, what I know you were one of 300, correct?
Actually, it's probably closer. As far as all Allied partners, there's about 600 of us there. But as far as from the Army, yeah, there's about 300.
Cool.
Originally, how I would go back to say how USAKPOC, my division, was selected. We are a multi-component command, but we are the reserve command for all civil affairs and psychological operations in the entire United States. So we are the executive agent of all airborne activities underneath United States Army Reserve Command.
Uh-huh.
And so our command was selected. I was selected to be the ceremonies NCOIC for all of the ceremonies that happen in France. So basically what you have, everybody's familiar with the jump into Saint-Mary-Église and other areas in Normandy. Well, that was one ceremony. We had 20 other ceremonies that we provided soldiers and support to throughout the area. So that was my responsibility. That's what I was selected for, and that's what we went over to do. And I didn't jump with the guys in France, but we had another jump in England prior to. So it was following the timeline of D-Day. We jumped into Salisbury Hill, which is the same place where the 82nd and 101st practiced their airborne operations prior to invading Normandy. So a lot of us jumped there. And only some of us got to jump in France because the winds were too high. So a third of our force got to go out.
Okay.
Yeah. That's probably a long, complicated answer to your question.
And if I have to ask you, specifics of that, I hope you'll understand. It's just so I can get everything right.
No.
Okay, so basically your, it's your battalion troop, whatever you want to call it, what do you call yourselves, company or?
No, we were a task force. We were the task force for Normandy.
Oh, a task force. Okay.
Yeah, task force
68 for Normandy. Okay, so basically your task force was selected to conduct this one airborne operation, but you also participated in some other 20-something operations?
21 ceremonies. We were put in, the task force was in charge of the 21 ceremonies, which included the jump into Saint-Mary-Église. Does that make sense? Like, we had one airborne operation, but we had 20 other ceremonies that happened throughout the week.
And you all participate in each one of those.
Right. Yes, ma'am.
Okay. Well, you were busy.
Yes, we were.
Okay. So, can you spell the name of that? You said Saint something, and I didn't catch that.
Saint Mir. It's STMERE.
So it's near. N as in Nancy.
Yeah.
ERE.
No, it's M as in Mike, Echo, Romeo, Echo.
Okay. And that's what country?
That's France. It's within Normandy.
That's the Normandy thing. Okay.
Yeah.
I just want to make sure I had everything collated right. Okay. And then you said you participated in another one, like over in England, which was to prepare, which was the original place to prepare for the jump in France at the original invasion.
Yes, ma'am.
I got it. See, my diploma did come in handy. Okay. And this reserve command, you basically are, your group there, the 300 of you, is pretty much the people, the 300 that represents the U.S. on anything like this or anything pertaining to this kind of exercise?
Yes, ma'am, that's correct. That's the case for the last, I think we've done it for the last, this is our fourth year. We were the task force lead for all Army components. There were some Navy components and whatnot that were there, but they fell under their own task force. They had their own ceremonies and stuff that they participated in.
So all branches of the military participated in some way?
Well, it was pretty much the Air Force, Army, and Navy. The Marines weren't there at that time. They didn't participate in the European campaign, at least initially. They were all in the Pacific, so.
Oh, I see, during that time.
Yeah, during that time. But, I mean, so basically, like, during this week of ceremonies and commemoration, the Secretary of Navy went to a few of the ceremonies where, you know, there was obviously, like, the beaches, Utah Beach, Sword Beach, Juneau, all the beaches for the invasion where the Navy took place, the Secretary of the Army or the Navy representation was there, as well as Army. You know, they drove us to shore and dropped us off. So they had a key.
Well, that was the question, like, you know, of course, everybody, you know, is familiar with Saving Private Ryan. And I guess the question is, you know, were there branches of the military that actually did the U-boat kind of thing, where they actually came up on the shore and
did this,
like a commemoration, like they did it exactly the same, like a reenactment kind of thing? Did that occur at all?
There was reenactments, but it wasn't the only, if you will, the only reenactment that we actually participated in. The Army and the Air Force was the actual airborne operation, and we jumped into St. Mary. There was reenactments. Ironically, a lot of the local French citizens have extensive material, like they jeeps from back in the 40s, even some
really?
Tanks. Yeah, so they spent a lot of money, their own money, on all the stuff that they have or stuff that, you know, was left in France, that they basically refurbished, and they did reenactments, but there was no waterborne, you know, ramps dropping down from the Higgins boats, you know, and Army guys coming out. But there was some reenactments done further inland. But,
from local citizens.
From the French.
Because, you know, a lot of people don't associate the French with being very Americanized. You know, I mean, you know, as far as...
Well, let me tell you this. This was humbling. When the first airplane, there was five airplanes that were coming in to the drop zone. When the first plane came in and when the other four were tailing it, the first jumper that exited, the entire area stood up and clapped. And most of the people there were French citizens from Normandy and other parts of the country. And they really do a lot to help us commemorate these, you know, basically June 6th through June 12th time frame.
Uh-huh.
I mean, they remember, and they pass it down generation to generation. Oh yeah. Now as you're getting closer to France or Paris and whatnot, I don't know if the ideologies change or what, but the people in Normandy really remember. It was very heartwarming.
So, is it kind of like here in the United States where you have, you know, you have areas of the country that are more, well, seemingly more patriotic, like what we call red states, let's say. That's just a buzz term. But, I mean, you have people that are, you know, in some of the larger cities that are just not into all that, whereas people in the countryside more, seemingly are more patriotic, even though that's, you know, it may not be that way, yeah. But
I would be careful to stereotype, but I would say where we were at, it seemed like the entire community was very supportive and very patriotic and honoring the sacrifice that was made all around.
Right.
And also, I mean, you know, the Germans were at just about every ceremony too. They sent a contingent down as well. Yeah, I mean, it's you know, with the European Union now, there's a lot of political.
Right.
Stuff going on, but they were there and honoring, you know, everybody that sacrificed there. But it was truly an amazing event, and it's probably of my military career, it was probably I would say it is the most remarkable experience I've ever had.
Wow!
And I've been to a lot of places and I've done a lot of things, but that was. That was it. That was really an awesome week and a half.
Okay. Awesome week. Half. Okay. All right. Well, you've answered so many questions without me even having to ask. Now, let's see. Do you have... Are you married? Are you single? You have children? Any of that stuff?
I am. I am married. My wife is also. I'm. I know we. I said I work for a reserve command, and that is correct. But I'm active. I'm an active. It's called AGR, Active Guard and Reserve. Basically, I'm an active duty guy that works within a reserve community, and my wife's also AGR in the same unit. She didn't go, but we have six kids.
Y'all are busy.
Somebody had to stay home.
My goodness. Okay. And what's your wife's name, first name?
Jennifer,
okay.
Yeah.
Okay. They still have that housing for couples and all that on the bases, or is that up to you guys?
No, we're senior NCOs, so we can kind of stay. We can make up our own minds if we want to stay on post or off post. We have a house off post. That we bought.
Okay. What is your age, Charles?
I'm 35.
Wow. Six kids at 35. Wow.
I'm done.
You're done.
Yeah.
That's hilarious. Well, that's a wonderful thing, though. That's, kids are just amazing.
They are. Okay. They are.
And what are the ages of your children? Just ours?
12, 11, 10. 7, 6, and 2.5.
Wow, little stair steps.
Yeah.
How many boys and girls?
3 and 3.
Oh, wow. That's neat. Okay. And were you, when you were growing up, well, I don't know how old you were, actually, probably older than I'm thinking, the Navies, what were there any Navies that inspired you to enter the military, or any kind of things as a child that happened to you that inspired you to go into the military?
I would almost call it a tipping point. I wouldn't say it was one, you know, like a movie or anything like that. My father, he was in the Army Reserve. Both grandfathers were in World War II. So we traced the military service as far back as I can go on both sides of, you know, my parents. And it was something that I guess I've always thought about doing, even as early as maybe 3 or 4. I remember my mom pulling out pictures of me in an Army uniform, you know, camouflage and everything, like, I guess I was 4, maybe 5.
Mm-hmm.
And it's something that's always interested me because it's challenging. It's, mm-hmm. it's not, you know, people don't think, wow, I want to wake up at 5 o'clock every day and, yeah, mm-hmm. go do this mm-hmm. and work this many hours. But I think, especially now, this time now, not necessarily my father's time or, you know, the 60s or 70s, I'm a senior enlisted, and I have an equivalent civilian education than most mid to senior level officers, and I've not paid for any of it.
Right.
The military has paid for everything. It's given me challenging leadership opportunities, and I mean, wow, I've been to I don't know how many countries, and I travel on a consistent basis too with my normal job here. So I get to see and do a lot of things that most people don't think about.
Right. I'm writing.
It's okay. I think they're recording this too, by the way. So you can
call
them back
if
you want to pull the recording off.
Oh, that would be cool. Okay. Okay. Let's see. Now, what as a soldier, what would be the one reason that you've touched a little bit on the travel and the education that was free? You said the education was level to, I guess you'd say, a senior officer
mm-hmm.
that you've received up to this point. What would be one thing that you could encourage a young person that may be thinking about a military career? What would be something that you would advise?
I would say that if you know, as a young person, or you know, even a kid in high school who's not sure what they want to do
mm-hmm.
with their, you know, going to college or getting a job, or if they're confused about some things and they're able to join the military,
mm-hmm.
I would push them in that direction for a few reasons. Number one, learning a trade while figuring out what you want to do with your life
uh-huh.
is rewarding, because they're going to pay for school if you choose to go to college. They're going to give you a trade. They're going to teach you leadership skills. They're going to teach you management skills. And there's nothing like it. I mean, for a guy that comes out of, or a girl that comes out of college at 21, 22 years old, they have no experience.
Mm-hmm.
If you're in the military nowadays and you serve 6 years of an active duty contract, you could have your undergrad degree or close to having that accomplished. Plus, you may have went to 3 or 4 different places in the world and actually seen what life is outside of the United States, what the cultures are, you know.
Right.
Stuff that you can teach in a textbook, but you can't really put your finger on it until you've been there.
Right. Okay. All right. And what's the most interesting country you've ever visited outside of this particular mission?
Oh, wow. I travel to Europe a lot. I would actually have to say Djibouti, Africa.
Djibouti?
Yeah.
Okay. How do you spell that?
It's a D-J-I.
D-J-I.
B-O-U-T-I.
B-O-U-T-I.
Yeah, Djibouti, Africa. It's that area is called the Horn of Africa. If you look on the east coast of Africa towards the center, it's just north of Somalia. But it's that area, that entire region is a melting pot of different cultures, different religions, different languages, and I tell you, I never thought of being in Africa and, you know, driving and eating at different restaurants and different foods, like Ethiopian food. But I drove a mile outside the gate and there's a pizza place. And it's probably the best pizza I've ever had.
Really?
Yeah, it's intriguing. I mean, I've been all over Europe. I've been, you know, to a lot of the places in and around Afghanistan and Iraq. But as far as intriguing, I think that Djibouti was probably the most intriguing place.
Okay. Now, have you actually served in any, I guess you'd say, operations fighting?
Yeah. I was in Afghanistan.
Oh, in Afghanistan. Okay.
And
what
Iraq.
Years were you there?
I was in Afghanistan in 2002.
Uh-huh.
And I was in Iraq in 2004.
Okay.
And that concludes my combat tours. But I'm the UCOM and AFRICOM desk officer for our command. So anything that our command does in those two theaters, I coordinate and collaborate for. So I travel to Europe, and sometimes I travel to Africa to solidify these engagements that we do.
Okay. You're just a man on the go.
yeah, constantly.
Okay. And let's see. I'm trying to think if there's anything else. Can you think of anything else that you want? Oh, I was going to ask you, as far as the American, I guess you'd say, perception of how life is truly for someone in the military, as far as, you know, engagements and combat and whatnot, what were some of the, I guess you'd say, stereotypes once you got into the military that maybe were not quite what Americans thought they were? Was there anything that kind of slapped you in the face and that you had heard all your life, but when you actually got into it, you realized, my gosh, this has been a misconception among the American public. This is all crazy.
You know what? No, not really. I mean, I kind of came into the military with, you know, an open mind, if you will, and mm-hmm. I would just say that based on previous wars, you know, the Vietnam War and Korean War and the wars that weren't really popular within our culture and our communities at that time, not everybody comes back with PTSD, not everybody goes crazy. I mean, we do have our fair share of soldiers that are hurting, but I really can't say or put a finger on anything that I thought, wow, this is a lot different. This is a culture shock coming into the military.
Right. Okay. So you think that pretty much Americans have a pretty good grasp as far as what goes on due to transparency in the military to a degree and educational programs?
Yeah, I would say with 100%, because, I mean, now, especially like this interview that you and I are doing, I mean, you're putting out a message, you know, from your questions, and you're putting it out to the community. And while we're just one interview, you know, there was hundreds that had taken place with soldiers that participated in other services that participated in Normandy. I mean, so I think the transparency, which you just spoke about, it's there because media has access to us, and
right.
we can put out how we feel without any thoughts or whatever retribution from our higher up. So there it's, no, I think transparency is key, and I think that's what will continue to maintain the support that we have from the population.
Right. Okay. And now, are you on Facebook by any chance, Charles?
I am. I don't know my Facebook thing. I'll give you my civilian email address, and then if you give me your Facebook, I can...
Sure.
I can friend you, because I don't, my wife set it up. She got tired of my friends, you know, friending her and then, like, telling her to tell me something on Facebook, so.
Oh, yeah, I understand. Well, yeah, let me, have you got a pen handy?
Oh, yes, ma'am, hang on one second.
Sure.
Run back inside. You know, the kids are noisy in there, so.
And what I'd like to do is send you just a little, I guess you say, a rough draft of this, and that way it gives you a chance to correct anything that I've put in that may be inaccurate or something that's maybe a different spelling or something I misunderstood. Is that okay with you?
That is perfectly fine.
Just a courtesy read kind of thing.
Okay. Yeah, I'm ready whenever you are, ma'am.
Okay. It's a pen for justice. It's a P as in Paul, mm-hmm. E as in Ed, N as in Nancy, the number 4, justice. @gmail.com.
@gmail.com.
Mhm. And the way you look for me on Facebook, which I can look you up too probably, is you can look under Stephanie, Stephany, Faulkner, F as in Frank, A as in Apple, U as in Up, L as in Love, K as in Kind,
yeah.
N as in Nancy, E as in Ed, and R as in Ralph.
Okay.
Davis. It's kind of like maiden name plus married name. Stephanie Faulkner Davis. That's my normal Facebook, and then I have one called Stephanie Davis Dash Investigative Reporter. So there's two Facebook pages.
Okay, Stephanie Davis Investigative Reporter.
Yeah.
Okay.
And if she doesn't find me, I'll find you, I'm sure. Is it? Are you in a member of a group, like a city group?
If you look up, well, I tell you what, if you look up my name, Charles Pilkington or Charlie Pilkington, there'll probably only be like six or seven dudes in there because my last name is not common.
Okay.
I'm the one with the parachute picture.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, all you see is a parachute. So, if you open up my homepage, the main picture on there is a goat. That's actually taken in Djibouti. Picture there.
Oh.
But yeah, if you want, I'll send you an email to tech, like test commo, but I can send you some pictures that I have taken or some of us have taken from Normandy.
Mm-hmm. I would love that because this is going to be probably a front page kind of exclusive.
Uh-huh.
I would love to have some parachute pictures or something. Of course, I want something of you too. Up
okay.
close.
Yeah.
You
yeah,
know,
that
if
works.
You got anything with your uniform or maybe some of your I guess you'd say your active duty wear, you know, like your parachute
mm-hmm.
stuff that you got on, whatever. Anything interesting like that would be awesome.
Okay. Yeah, no worries. I'll go through meeting with our PAO folks tomorrow. I think they have 2 terabytes of pictures that they took and video from the whole thing. So I'm going to go through there and get some of the pictures out. I took some on my phone. I don't think that I got, we had a couple wounded guys, so I was busy tending to them during the actual jump in France. So I didn't give any pictures in that one. But
right.
Yeah, but I'm sure our PAO guys did because there were like 10 of them out there taking pictures and video. So.
Awesome. My deadline this week, they've actually pushed it up on me because there's some people going out of town that work at the newspaper, Small Town America stuff. But
yeah.
I actually have to get everything turned in by Wednesday. So do you think you can get me some photos by late Tuesday?
Oh, yeah, ma'am. Not a problem. Not a problem at all. I'll send you some tomorrow night.
Okay.
That'd be great.
Not a problem at all. Awesome. Okay, well, it has been an honor to interview you, and thank you for serving our country. And there's a lot of people here in Maynardville and Union County and in East Tennessee in particular that really appreciate the service of our troops, our veterans, and we just actually got through celebrating on a local level Memorial Day. And
yes, ma'am.
Had a really good turnout, even though it was very hot. But it's an honor to get to interview someone that's actually active and, you know, is out there serving our country. So I really do appreciate you as a reporter and as a citizen, and thank you for sacrificing for us so that we can stay in the bed past 5 o'clock in the morning.
No worries, ma'am. It's my pleasure and my honor to pass the word on to everybody.
Yes, let them know that we're pulling for them and looking forward to, of course, when they all get to come back home and be with their families when they're out there serving us in an active way. And it's been a pleasure, and anytime that you know you need to call the newspaper or get something out there, don't hesitate to call us.
Will do, ma'am.
All right. Well, Charles, you have a wonderful weekend, and please say hello to your little family for me.
Will do. Thank you, ma'am. You have a blessed day.
Thank you. God bless. Bye-bye. Bye-bye.